Hello and welcome to episode number 97 of Controller Club, the Friendly Face Gaming Space, a podcast where three friends from three continents share in one love, that is video games. My name is Kleinfeld, and alongside me today are two of my best friends in the whole wide gaming world. First, coming to us from across the pond, it is the digital art daredevil himself, the Tifa to my Aerith, the Cloud to my Barrett, Tom Drew. Tom, how are you? How are things? How is life?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Yeah, I've just come back, you know, on a little jaunt to the Gold Saucer. We'll get a bit more into that in the what we're playing.
Oh, you've passed me. You have passed me.
Okay.
I just did the bathing suit stuff. Okay. And I'd met some bodybuilders. I did some sit-up mini game.
Oh, God.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, brutal.
Second try, I got it. First try, I was like, what am I doing? But yeah. Yeah, let's get to our other host here. It is everybody's favorite Australian journalist extraordinaire, recovering from a weekend of partying. It is Lauren Rouse. Lauren, how are you on this early Monday morning?
Hello, I am doing well. It is very early, but I've had a great weekend celebrating the upcoming wedding of some friends of mine and feeling very energized and happy to be here.
Awesome. We're going to have some fun today. On today's show, the 2024 Video Game Hall of Fame class has been announced. We'll get into that. We got a look behind the scenes at a canceled Spider-Man game this past week, and we're going to do a fun little exercise. We're going to fill out a meme template, I guess we would call it. I don't really know. Our alternative favorite games and least favorite games of all time. But before all that, Tom, you teed it up perfectly. What have we been playing this week? We'll jump right to you. How are things going with the team, with Red 13, with Yuffie, with Cloud? How is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth for you?
Oh, man, it's going swimmingly. It's so good. I mean, like, I've been thinking about how like, it compares to the first game. And, like, you know, the first game has really good, like, high moments, but I think there's a bit of inconsistency with some of its levels, especially with it being, like, more linear. Like, you'll get a really good level, and then you'll be in the sewers for a bit, and it's like, oh, this isn't the best, because they had to pad out a lot of that game. With this, because there's less to pad out, there's a lot more that they can just... There's a lot more fun moments in between things. So I'm just having a lot of fun. So I've just been blitzing it. I've on chapter 8 now. I think there's 14 chapters in total. So just over halfway. Taking Tifa on a lovely
How many
date.
Hours do you think?
About 35-ish. Yeah, something like that. I've been playing this game nonstop. Took Tifa for a lovely date. Beautiful time, beautiful vibes. It was great. And it's like, we talked about this last week, how this game is basically just a mini game. Like, it's just a mini game game. It's basically a Mario Party game where you're just going through different mini games because you haven't even got to it yet, I don't think, Klein. But there are even more mini games than you even know about. And it's like shocking to me, like how much there is. Just loving it. So how far are you into it?
I think I'm a good way through chapter 6. I've just done the notorious swimsuit stuff that is going around online where you go and complete minigames so you can get nice swimsuits for the whole team. And that's what I did. And met some bodybuilders, did that, did a sit-up minigame, was introduced to basically Rocket League, except it controls terribly.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
That's something I will say about some of these minigames is they do, some of them do feel a little underbaked. Mm-hmm. This game feels like a great anime with this, like, these awesome charismatic characters that is all just linked together by these, like, kind of hastily thrown together minigames, and I'm okay with it. I am enjoying myself. I have not put nearly as much time in it in the last week as I think you have. I'm 22 hours in and still enjoying it, but I've come to the realization that this is going to be a slow play for a while. Like, this is going to be something I play over a great significant period of time. Do you have any other games that you want to talk about, Tom, or should we move on to Lauren?
Just quickly, I'll say I also, in between Final Fantasy sessions, I've been playing some more Street Fighter 6. My goal was to get one character to silver rank. So there's different rankings. There's like rookie, bronze, silver, gold, platinum, so on.
And that's online, right?
Like, that's
you're playing other people, and I guess when you win, you get like you grow in rank, and if you lose, you go down.
And if you have a streak, then you'll just go up exponentially. You'll get more points and that sort of thing. So my goal was to get one character to silver rank. I got two this week, which I was pretty proud of, to be honest. I got Cammy, who was like my main, and Zangief to silver. And I've almost got Juri there. I like went up and down with her. But yeah, slowly working my way to Evo ready, is what I'll say. So we'll see how good we are in a year's time.
Lauren, you have been away from the house for a little bit, so I don't know how much gaming you have gotten to do in the last week, but have you gotten to play anything since we last spoke?
I have actually played a little bit. Of course, it's just Helldivers 2 again. Last week, I talked about the mechs. They're in the game now. I don't have access to one because I'm not level 24. But this week, we got a new major order, which is essentially, you know, a new war directive. You got to go to this planet to where spraying pesticide on a bunch of bugs. But unfortunately, once you spray the pesticide, the bugs don't stop coming. So be warned. But it's been a lot of fun. I have about three different groups of people who are playing. So it's just like each night I'll be like, all right, who's on? Organize my team, go in and play. Did have some server issues this week. So those are not over yet, unfortunately. I think there's just so many people playing this now, particularly when there's something new happening that, yeah, it just can't handle it. Or there was an update pushed as well that did kind of break a few things. But one thing is, because I have such a Helldivers addiction right now, I was like, hey, I'm going to be away from the house. I'll bring my PlayStation Portal. This is what the PlayStation Portal should be used for in my case. Do you think it worked when I got it here? Of course not.
On Australian internet infrastructure? I'm going to guess no.
So it could be something. The problem is I can't check back at my house where my PlayStation is. We could have had a power outage. Our internet could be off. It could be a whole multitude of things, but the way I had set it up was that I left the PlayStation connected to power, and I figured it would still be able to turn on and connect to the internet. But I have no way of checking that. So I'm trying to connect to it here. I'm trying the Remote Play app on both my phone and through the PlayStation Portal, and neither of them can even connect to the PlayStation. And I'm telling my dad, look, I've got this cool thing that I can like mirror my PlayStation. And now he's like, oh, well, okay, you can't connect to the Wi-Fi. Why don't you just play something else? I was like, no, it has no other uses now. It needs to connect to the Wi-Fi and your PlayStation.
It is just an expensive piece of plastic now, Dad.
No. So sorry, but the PlayStation Portal is not impressing so far. I thought that if I could travel with it, it would be a really kind of useful piece of hardware, but so far not impressing. So that's unfortunate. No Helldivers for me this weekend.
And it's not the most portable thing in the world either. Like it's pretty large and in charge, like putting that thing into your carry-on, right? You're not taking that. You're not going to take that and the Switch. Like it is probably an either or thing. They're not. It's not like you're carrying around a Game Boy Advance SP on the plane or whatever. Like these things are big.
And the thing is, the carry cases for them have all sold out because of the initial shipment, everyone obviously bought one. And now you're waiting for shipments, I think, next month. So I have to carry it in the original box. And it has taken up like, half my carry-on, which I was quite annoyed by, particularly now that it doesn't work. Oh, yeah. So look out for my words on Lifehacker in the coming weeks.
You're going to get home and you're going to find out that the PlayStation was turned off somehow. Maybe. It's not in standby mode anymore. Like something happened.
Could be.
But that sucks. That's a bummer.
It is. So no Helldivers for me this weekend. But as soon as I'm back, I'll be on it again.
I don't know how you feel about this, Tom. I would not have... Of the people on this podcast, I would not have said Lauren Rouse would be the one to get into Helldivers 2 at the beginning of the year. I'm so happy that's happened. Yeah. But it is like the addiction seems to be real.
Yes, that may be coming up later in the podcast.
Yes. There's a tease setting that up. We'll get to quickly. I've been playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. It's still a whole lot of fun. Still really enjoying it. I want to shout out this past week. I'm sitting here at my desk. And there's some downtime at work sometimes where there's maybe not some stories coming in. Maybe I've looked at the trends for the day. I've pitched my stuff. I'm waiting for answers. And so I'm like, I need a game to play on my computer. I open up the Xbox Game Pass app because I hadn't played anything on Game Pass in quite some time. And I'm like, I'm paying for this thing. I need to justify this purchase. Downloaded Dead Cells again. And I haven't played Dead Cells in years. And oh my gosh, I don't know what has got, maybe I'm better at video games now, but years ago when this game came out, I got to a certain point and kept hitting my head against the wall, and I could not get any further. First run went past that. And like every run since then have slowly progressed a little further and further. So I'm really enjoying that. But the big highlight of my week, I'm allowed to talk about Rise of the Ronin, at least the first couple of hours of it. I want to thank PlayStation Canada for providing a code. I've played about 5 hours so far. I'm allowed to talk only about like really the very beginning. I was really excited about Rise of the Ronin coming in. I thought, wow, Team Ninja Games, people have been big fans of them for a long time, whether it goes back to Ninja Gaiden or the Neo games more recently. And I was thinking, like, this is going to be a big moment for them. Like, it's a PlayStation exclusive. Sony is publishing it. Like, this is going to be a big deal. And I got to say, like, I think I'm a little underwhelmed, at least early on, by this thing. I will preface this by saying I am enjoying my time. I think it is a good game. It feels of a different era. This is very much it feels like a Ubisoft 2012 open world game. It feels like we hit that. It almost like we never progressed past that. And so it is just like, you're going to go, there's going to be camps for you to clear out, there's going to be challenges for you to do, checkboxes for you to fill, and not much more. I think the combat is really fun. That's been one of the big things of Team Ninja games for a long time, is people really like how the combat feels in those games. The combat in this feels really fun. I do get that that feeling that, yes, I am a samurai. It feels similarly to me that the Ghost of Tsushima did, but I almost would put Ghost of Tsushima on like a higher level to this for some reason. This game, it doesn't look super, like, it's not, nothing blows you away. I think it does everything very good, but nothing amazingly. So I'll have more thoughts on it when I can talk like about the whole game, but I don't know, I think it's going to get like sevens and eights, but I was hoping it was going to be like nines and tens. Something I will say that I think the two of you might find enticing is, this is by the team that did Neo, which is a Soulsborne-esque game. And so you'd think, okay, it's going to be really hard. They actually have difficulty options in here. So it's the same Soulsy combat, but like I'm playing on normal right now, which is easier than the Neo games, or easier than the Bloodborne, Elden Ring, that sort of thing. And it just feels like, oh, this is that same. It feels like playing Fallen Order or Jedi Survivor. Like it's the same sort of combat, but you're just turning down the difficulty, and then there's a difficulty mode even easier than what I'm playing on now. And I think that is really cool, because some people see that barrier to entry of the Soulsborne games and they're like, I don't know, like that's might be too difficult for me. And this is offering an experience like that, in a well-crafted open world, and letting people kind of get in maybe at their own pace, not at the pace that the game wants them to play at. And so I think that's really cool. That was one of the first things that I enjoyed right from the beginning. Also, the character creator in this game is, I think, one of the best. There, you can do a lot with the character creation in this. I've seen people talking about Dragon's Dogma 2's character creator as well. And right now, both of these games, it feels like both of them have like this great suite of character creation. Beyond that, I'm just kind of like, if I had nothing else to play, I could see myself spending a lot more time and like wanting to go back to this game more and more and more. But there's just, I think, games can't just be good anymore to grab people's attention, because there's so much. There's Helldivers to play. There's Final Fantasy to play. There's so many different games out there that are these like amazing, like groundbreaking experiences. And this is just okay. I don't know if it bums me out. I was really looking forward to like this being a big coming out party for Team Ninja again. But I'm liking it, but not loving it.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Oh no, I was just, yeah. That's fair enough. And it's hard to talk about, obviously, because you're not allowed to talk about it that much. But maybe, you know, if you get further into the game, there'll be more hooks and there'll be something else to it, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess like the fact that it does have a difficulty option, like that is kind of enticing to me, only because going back to Final Fantasy VII a bit, like I got to like a boss fight that I found very, very, very difficult. I was getting very frustrated about it. And I was thinking, like, God, if I want to play like a Souls game like Elden Ring or something, it's going to be like hell. So the fact that this has something like that, I think that is good.
And they have this really cool mechanic where usually when you like you parry an attack, right? It's like, okay, someone swings, you hit the parry button, and they're kind of staggered or something like that. This, the enemies are a little more like aggressive. So if you parry, you have to parry like, you have to memorize their attack patterns. And so say they come in and they go like three swings. That means you have to parry, like you have to go parry, parry, parry. The parry window on the lower difficulties is quite big, but it does feel really cool. Like you're actually like clashing swords with them. Like you are seeing the swing going bang, seeing another one bang. And then you can go in for kind of like a killing blow. And I think that feels very cool. And the movement in this game also feels really like it's very smooth. I'm not running into any like frame rate drops or anything. I'm playing on performance mode as opposed to fidelity. I think it runs very smoothly. And actually the act of like moving through this world feels very good. You have like a sort of like a Batman-esque grappling hook that you can use in certain places. You've seen the glider and stuff in trailers. So moving through this world is a lot of fun. It does ultimately feel like it feels like a Samurai Assassin's Creed game, which to some people, that's what we've kind of been dreaming of. But playing it, I'm like, oh, do I like these kind of games anymore at coming out of playing things like Breath of the Wild or even like The Witcher and stuff like that, where yes, there's a lot of stuff on the map, but everything kind of felt meaningful. There's a lot of tedium, it feels like, in here, where it's like, okay, go and clear out the enemy base. And you do that, and then you get the time-lapse video of the people coming back into the, like, this moon coming over and days passing and this, like, townsfolk's moving back into the town that was invaded. And then that's kind of it. And checked it off the box.
I feel like you're actually selling me on it more, because when you say, like, you Ubisoft checkbox game,
Lauren,
when
I was playing this game, I was like, this, I might not be loving this. I have a feeling Lauren would love it. Like, I feel like this would be such a Lauren Rouse game.
Yeah, what's it like graphically?
I think it looks okay. I think some people are blowing it a little bit out of the water. Some people are saying this looks like a PS3 game. I don't think that. But I will say there is nothing that this game is doing graphically that I'm like, oh my God, this couldn't be played on a PlayStation 4. Or, like, there's no way. It looks realistic. Like there's no real like art style, I would say it, but it is very, there's nothing quite blowing me away from a looks perspective. It does kind of, I don't want to say generic samurai, but that is ultimately what it looks like. And right now we're living in this great time of like, I'm watching Shogun week to week and I have this on my PlayStation 5. Like I thought I would, with all of this feudal Japan in my life, I thought this game would hook me more than it is. But I think that's just because there's so much else to play right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen a lot of people say that they're watching Shogun and are like, have to start a Ghost of Tsushima playthrough. And so I thought Rise of the Ronin was actually coming out at maybe the perfect time to capitalize on that. But perhaps it's actually coming out at a time that's too crowded for it to really break through.
We'll see. And I'm fascinated. I don't have Dragon's Dogma yet. I don't think I'll get it. But I'm fascinated with these two kind of big, sprawling open world RPGs, and previews coming out of Dragon's Dogma have been glowing. I'm fascinated to see who wins here, because if you had asked me a year ago, I would have sworn to you Rise of the Ronin would be the big winner, because Dragon's Dogma 1 was this. The people who played it loved the first one, but it felt fairly niche, whereas this was this big, like this is PlayStation's big exclusive, I would say, for like this quarter. And I was expecting more, but it'll be fascinating to see. I can't wait to see what the reviews say for Dragon's Dogma, because I have a feeling that they're going to be amazing. I have a feeling, just judging from early impressions I've seen, that they're going to be 10 out of 10, maybe 9 or 10 out of 10. Who knows?
I hope so, because it's on my fantasy critic list.
Rise of the Ronin's on mine, so
Tom, so far I looked at his list the other day,
game of the year,
and I was like, how is this possible? It's like you've got like 50 points from two games.
Yeah, and he hasn't, and he's you haven't filled your team out at all. You've got three empty spots just sitting there.
Choices, I'm waiting. Biding my time.
I've got one. I'm sitting there waiting to see. That's what we've been playing this week. Let's get into the news. Tom, can you throw us to the news section, pretty please?
It's the news we choose. Yeah.
Tom Drew, we'll go right to you. One of the biggest stories of the week, I would say. You picked a good one here. Let's get into it. Thwip, thwip.
Yeah, thwip, thwip indeed. See, I'm talking about the fact that the Spider-Man The Great Web trailer has leaked online. Well, not even just one trailer, but two trailers made their way to the internet this week, showing off the now-cancelled Spider-Man live service offering from Insomniac Games titled Spider-Man The Great Web. While it's unclear if this would be a standalone game or just an expansion of Spider-Man 2, the trailers present what is essentially a proof-of-concept showcase of what this mode could be, all to the narration of Yuri Lowenthal's Peter Parker. The gameplay would have players team up against... across New York City, as various spider people, including the previously unseen Spider-Gwen, who sports a very punk redesign. The footage also teases Spider-Verse elements, with the characters going through various portals to weird and wacky locales. However, for anyone potentially excited about the prospect of swinging around with your spider buddies, development on the Great Web has been cancelled, as revealed by various things, various other Insomniac leaks, PlayStation rolling back on their live service offerings, which is, you know, I don't want to say a shame, but I guess we'll open it up. Klein, we'll go straight to you. What do you make of this? Obviously, this was a live service game, which we've talked about a lot ad nauseum on this podcast about our thoughts about that. But what do you think about the trailer and this also being cancelled now?
Well, the trailer itself, it feels like a great idea, right? It feels like, okay, we've done this Spider-Man thing. The Spider-Verse name is so big and so popular right now. I'm honestly not like too upset that this is gone. This was, a lot of people were looking at this going, how far along in development was this game? It looks perfect. I don't know if this was very much, I think, just a proof of concept to me. Like, this is, they're putting some models into the Spider-Man 2 world, and pitching it to PlayStation. I think it was incredibly early. I don't know how this would have... I'm just trying to wrap my head around how this game would actually have worked, because Spider-Man is so, like, it's so combo-based, where you're throwing people up in the air and you're juggling and throwing them around, and I don't know how you then mix in three or four other Spider-Men in that same, like, being controlled by other people, getting into that same combat action. Like, if I throw someone up in the air and go to combo them, what's going to stop Lauren's other universe Miles Morales from swinging in and, like, taking that person away, for like stealing my kill, quote unquote? And I don't know how this would work. I want a Spider-Verse game. I just don't know if I want a multiplayer Spider-Verse game. If they want to give me like a contained, maybe Miles Morales sized Spider-Verse experience. I thought for a long time the Concrete Genie team, there was rumors that they were working with Sony Pictures on a potential game. I thought forever, I was like, oh, that's what they're going to do. They're going to come out with their own Spider-Verse thing. And then that obviously didn't happen, because I think the Concrete Genie team ended up getting canned. I think that studio was gone. I don't know. I saw a lot of people looking at this going like, this is the dream game. Oh my gosh. Like, people in our circles from the direct, where I was in a few group chats of people going, what happened to this, client? It looks amazing. And I'm kind of sitting here going, I think we may, I don't want to say dodged a bullet, but like, I can't see this working in my head, but who knows? I mean, Insomniac have proven me wrong many times, because they keep putting out amazing game after amazing game. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think you're right in terms of like, yeah, this did look not rough, but like, you know, Venom's like textures didn't look.
It did feel very proof of concept. Yeah. Like, it felt very much like, we are going to put these models into the game we have and give it to PlayStation as like a, this is what we could potentially do.
Yeah, and I think like a lot of the ideas, like you said, they kind of incorporate, obviously Spider-Gwen, who like would be cool to have in this kind of universe now. That design is very cool. I think if they brought some of these elements over like that, I wouldn't be too sad seeing this go. If from past precedent, I feel like if a company could do a live service game well. Apropos nothing, I think Insomniac could do it well in terms of like how they would monetize it and the ways it would work. But having said that, I don't want that. You know, we saw with Naughty Dog, like how they kind of pulled back and were like, we don't want this to take away from what we're doing elsewhere. And like this probably would have had the potential to do that. So I would rather them just focus on whatever they've got in the pipeline, like Wolverine and any other Spider-Man games, they've single player Spider-Man games they've got in the pipeline, then fully dedicate everything to this. But hopefully they take some ideas and make, like, I don't know, just a single player like DLC thing, or like its own separate thing in Spider-Man 3 or whatever. So hopefully some elements of this continue. But yeah, Lauren, what do you make of this?
Yeah, I don't know what it is about this that appeals to me more than Suicide Squad, because essentially that's kind of what Rocksteady has done, is gone and taken this great, well, they kind of swapped it. I think the problem with Suicide Squad is swapping out the guns and that kind of stuff, changing those sorts of mechanics. But if they had transplanted what you could do in the Arkham games and made that what Suicide Squad was, I actually think it would be a really different story. And yeah, there's something about this where I'm like, oh yeah, I would really want to play this. This sounds like a great idea. Make it happen. But when you do think about it a little harder, you're like, Spider-Man is so good based on what it is able to do as a narrative single player driven game. So I think this may have taken away from that. But that being said, it seems like a really great way to do a Spider-Verse game. The fact that you can bring in the other Spider people, your friends, bring them in and have that kind of like zany action where you don't know where someone's going to pop up next, and you can have access to all these characters with different suits from different universes. So I hope they don't get rid of that idea. I really am a strong believer that Spider-Man 3, whatever it is, whenever it comes, should be a Spider-Verse game. And hopefully this means they're still kind of taking that concept and going to run with it. But yeah, there was just something about it that I thought, I'd probably be into this. I would like to see how it's done, but I don't want, obviously we're seeing, you know, the games industry is on thin ice right now. I don't want them to like put their resources toward this and then have it fail and then not have any more Spider-Mans at all. So I think you're probably right. At the end of the day, it's best that it did get cancelled, but maybe there's room in the future if they can figure it out for there to be some sort of cooperative element, some kind of multiplayer element in the games that we already have, maybe.
Yeah, maybe if it's like just kind of stripped back, almost like Ghost of Tsushima Legends, where it's like not a full-on multiplayer thing, but like it's, you know, got enough to it where you just, yeah, just swinging around. It's very chill. Like there's not like too much to it where it like takes away from anything that they're working on, but it could still be like a little bit of fun that people will be interested in. So maybe they could do that at some point with a future Spider-Man game, or with maybe even Spider-Man 2's development, if they continue with DLC or whatever.
Even with this canceled, we are going to have no lack of, like, Insomniac is not going away from our lives for it, like, anytime soon. We've got Wolverine coming. There's, if we want to take the leaked stuff into account, like, there's potentially more Spider-Man other than just Spider-Man 3 coming as well. Like, we are going to get a lot more Insomniac as we have. Like, I think they've been like the MVP of the PlayStation 5 so far. Really, every year the system has been out, they've had something for people to play. And so I like it is a bummer that ultimately this project got canceled, but things get canceled all the time in this industry and we never hear anything about it. It just so happened that because of this was a result, I'm pretty sure, of the leaks that happened with Insomniac, and people were withholding this until now. It just so happened this went public, and I can guarantee you there's been 10 other projects that have gotten to this point or further that have ultimately been canned.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll see, I guess, what they do, whether it's more DLC or if they're just going to power on with what they're working on at the moment. Yeah, exciting nonetheless.
Okay, we'll go from a video game based on an existing IP to a video game IP or an adaption of a video. Okay, let's try that again. Among Us, the TV show, Lauren Rouse, go ahead.
Yeah, it's me talking about video game adaptations again. I'm just so fascinated by them. And Among Us is one that I did not see coming. But basically this week, Among Us has, the animated series has revealed its cast. And this comes from Rick Porter at The Hollywood Reporter. He writes, an animated series based on Among Us has cast several prominent actors to voice the characters inside the multicolored spacesuits. Randall Park, Ashley Johnson, Yvette, Nicole Brown, and Elijah Wood will star in the series from CBS Studios and the video games developer Innosloth. The show, which doesn't have an outlet attached yet, will follow a similar premise as that of the game. The crew of a spaceship tries to find an alien shapeshifter who's impersonating and killing crew members. So Park will play Red, the people-pleasing blowhard captain of the Skellship. Ashley Johnson plays Purple, the ship's suspicious and sarcastic head of security. Brown will play Orange, the head of HR, and Wood will play Green, an unpaid intern. So I want to know what you guys think about this, because I actually didn't realize that there was an animated Among Us series happening. And having played the game a fair bit, I don't know how it's going to work. Will it be a new crew member who's the imposter each week? Is it a whole season-long arc? How are they going to keep this going? But I do love the cast. So, yeah. Tom, what are you thinking? How's this going to go?
Yeah, this is so bizarre. And, like, yeah, like I said, I like all of these people that are in it. So I'll check it out, maybe. But all I can picture is just it's just going to be these people basically in voice chat, like, arguing with each other. Like,
I'd be okay with that.
And electrical and all that stuff. Yeah, which would be fun, I guess. You know, we know Elijah Wood's a bit of a gamer, so
yeah.
That kind of, there's that crossover there. But yeah, I guess the structure of it is fascinating, whether it be, yeah, like, does it, like, do they find a different killer each week and then it kind of resets each episode, or, like, I don't know. It's such a weird way to, like, who is this for as well? Because obviously, you know, we've all played Among Us, but Among Us is very, like, it's like a lot of kids play it. I mean, I played it over Christmas. I know this. Like, it's just 12-year-olds in the lobbies.
Tom, can I tell you something? I've never played a game of Among
really?
Us. Ever.
Oh, we yep. need to change.
For research.
I have never played. I feel like I was trying to convince my friends over the pandemic. I was like, this would be, like, this is perfect for my group, like the group of friends that I have. We love video games. We love to tear each other apart. And it never happened. So that's I've never played this game. I've seen many a stream, but yeah, I have never played Among Us. I would like to try it.
That might be the biggest bombshell of the podcast. Double C.
Fake gamer. I don't know what to tell you.
God. But yeah, I'll just be. I just don't know who the target audience is for this. Like, because obviously it's quite dark with, like, yeah, shit person killing crew members, but that's the game, right? Certain kids play it. So
yeah.
We'll see how they do that.
I think given the cast, it looks like they're definitely leaning into comedy. And the game is kind of like funny in its simplicity and the things that you have to do. And, like, you know, you kill someone and they turn into a ham bone. It's kind of, it's like silly and fun. yeah, I'm just curious to see what the structure will be. Is it like a reset every episode, or is it more of a longer sort of series arc? Is this just a one-off? Regardless, I think the character, I like that they're giving each of the colors a characterization, because, you know, when you're playing Among Us, you can be any of the colors, you can wear a hat, whatever. But it seems like they're assigning each of the colors a personality, and maybe that will in turn help people in the game. Maybe everyone's going to want to really be Red or really be Orange because they're like, that's their favorite character in the show and stuff. But I do have a feeling this is going to maybe skew younger, but hopefully we'll have like some jokes that are for us older folks who want to tune in. But yeah, Klein, do you have any interest despite not having played Among Us?
I'm interested in it. I like all the people that are involved. I like Among Us. I just haven't played the game. I've been involved like as a viewer, not as somebody who's actively taken part in it. I'm really interested. I saw somebody talking, what if this is like kid family friendly, like White Lotus, like Whodunit? I'm into that. Like, have it run the whole season, this murder mystery of who could it pot, like a glass onion for the whole family. Sure, I'm there. I'm ready to go for that. That sounds like a lot of fun. I think it is going to be very, very silly. You're bringing in like Randall Park, hilarious. You're bringing in Yvette Nicole Johnson. I love Community and she's awesome. Ashley Johnson, I love that. Like, that's so fun that she's a part of this too. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Do we know where it's landing?
No, they said that there was no channel attached yet.
Yeah.
We don't even know how long they're going to be, how many there's going to be. I mean, in terms of animation, like voice cast usually happens quite early on. So I think this is still a long ways away. but and I'm sure they're going to attach more cast as well. I don't know if they'll just be the four characters because there's multiple colors. I think you can have like 8 or 12 kind of characters.
Yeah. Who, so, bring in the rest of the community cast.
Maybe
this is make it just a community playing Among Us.
Maybe
I would love that.
This is the movie. Six seasons
and a movie.
It's the Among Us show. I want to see Glenn Howerton from Always Sunny and Blackberry.
Yeah.
He gets so angry at people. I'd love to see him in the show.
Yeah, it's funny, like you said,
as
Tom,
the Blackberry character.
That it's just like, is it just going to be like a bunch of people that we like listening to in a voice chat? I watched so much of that during the pandemic. I would watch people playing Among Us on Twitch. A lot of these same people, like I know Troy Baker and Ashley Johnson and a few of the others, would have an Among Us chat, and I tuned into that. And I was like, this is hilarious. So get more of those people. Like, bring it in, bring it on.
Definitely.
I'm excited to see when and where it comes. Like, I'm fascinated. That's the big thing. Where is it going to land? Where is it going to land? Obviously, the CBS Studios is the name that was thrown in there. So does that mean
Paramount, probably,
will it be Paramount Plus?
Yeah,
like that. Who knows? I'm interested to see what's next. And it's fascinating that Among Us is the big... What a fascinating just success story for that team. Like, it landed at the perfect time. I don't know if that game would have become the sensation it was if we were not all locked at home, unable to see everyone. And now it's a TV show with Elijah Wood involved. Like, that's crazy. Like, good for them. That's awesome.
I'm like, hey, do Fall Guys next.
Oh yeah.
What would you, Lauren Rouse, what would you want out of a Fall Guys show? I think they kind of did. It was called Wipeout, and then they took it away from us.
I've thought about writing a Fall Guys show. My friend and I, when we were really into it, we're like, what would we make this? And, you know, is there so many silly little
funnier Squid Game?
Silly little interactions in Fall Guys that I think, I don't know how you would translate it into a show, but you know what? I'll think about it. Maybe I'll save my pictures in case it ever happens.
Yeah, you don't want to give away your best ideas. Yeah.
The $1 million idea. We'll jump right over into my story. The 2024 finalists for the World Video Game Hall of Fame have come out. This is from Willow Rowe at Kotaku. Every year, the video game industry gets together during the Game Awards to celebrate the latest and greatest in interactive entertainment. But what about recognizing old games as the best of the best, the ones that boldly innovated new possibilities and paved the way for the best games of today? That's where the World Video Game Hall of Fame comes in. Organized by and housed at the Strong National Museum of Play in Rochester, New York, the Hall of Fame recognizes those games that have had a large influence on video games and popular culture at large. Current inductees include games like The Last of Us, Wii Sports, and Tetris. On March 14th, The Strong announced that announced its annual list of finalists for potential induction into the Hall of Fame. The public can vote on the 12 finalists, and the top three games from the public vote will be submitted on a ballot alongside other ballots from the Hall of Fame selection committee. The final inductees will be revealed on Thursday, May 9th. Now, the finalists for 2024 are Asteroids, the arcade game, Elite, an Atari game, Guitar Hero, Metroid, Myst, Neopets, shout out Neopets, Resident Evil, SimCity, Tomeki Memorial, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, Ultima, and You Don't Know Jack. I think we talked about the class maybe last year, definitely like one of the very first Controller Club episodes. We had a story about the Hall of Fame class. I remember talking about that. What do we think about these potential finalists? Do you see any in here that you think should make it in? Three of these games will ultimately make it into the Hall of Fame. Tom, do you see anything on this list that stands out to you as particularly like you feel you want to plant your flag in that right now?
Yeah, there's a lot I feel like they're deserving. Obviously, like one of the first things goes to like Resident Evil, like just popularizing like survival horror in games, but also, and that's obviously huge now, and also just like horror in general at the time. I think Neopets, honestly, like that deserves
shout
some flowers.
Neopets.
It's like in
taught
terms
me
of
about
like,
the stock exchange.
Also, honestly, it's like so influential for a lot of people. I actually didn't play Neopets, but I think just as like these kind of online communities, I think that hasn't really, like, looking back at some of the previous inductees, hasn't really been represented. So I think, like, that has some juice to it. I feel like that would be really cool to see for me personally.
Lauren, anything on this list that you think should and will make it in?
For me, it's Guitar Hero. That was, like, a quintessential point in my life. I loved, like, that really drove my passion for guitar. Like, I wanted to be able to play guitar like I could play on Guitar Hero. I'm interested. You Don't Know Jack. Is that the Jackbox game, You Don't Know Jack?
So before Jackbox, it was just a trivia game called You Don't Know Jack.
Ah, okay. Because I was like, that's definitely not Jackbox's best game. So I was confused about why that was there. But yeah, I think, yeah, Guitar Hero, obviously Neopets is great. And yeah, there's plenty on here that deserve to be in the mix.
Shout out Tony Hawk. Shout out Tony Hawk for a skater.
Of course.
Any chance I get, I will talk about it. But I think it is really cool that like it isn't just like these classic, like Asteroids obviously is like a bonafide classic. It's one of the OGs. Metroid also is like this seminal game, but being up there on a list with Neopets and with Guitar Hero and with Tony Hawk, I think it's really cool. I was looking, I didn't really know until reading this where the World Video Game Hall of Fame was. This Museum of Play. This sounds awesome. I don't know why else I would go to Rochester, New York. I'm sorry, Rochester, New York, but this sounds awesome, and it feels like I would like to see it one day.
Control Club going, field trip. Well, let's do it.
There we go. Live recording from the World Video Game Hall of Fame. Let's make it happen. And that's going to transition perfectly into the reason we're all here this week. We've gotten through the news. Tom, give us that outro and we'll jump into our alternative favorite games of all time list.
It's the news we choose. Yeah.
This wasn't really in honor of the World Video Game Hall of Fame class. It's just serendipitous that this happened. One of you two, was it you, Tom, or was it Lauren?
It was Lauren.
It was Lauren. Posted this amazing little meme template, like superlative list thing that people were doing online. Lauren, tell us about where did you find this? What is it? And what are we going to be doing here today?
I think it was just one of those memes that circulates that everyone that I saw a bunch of my friends doing, you know, retweeting the meme format. It's called the favorite game meme. And it's just basically a grid with a bunch of different categories that maybe make you think about different games. So, you know, things like, why do I like this? Like just making you realize, yeah, think about all the games that you've played maybe in different ways. And so, yeah, I just saw a friend post this and I was like, this could be fun for us to do on the podcast. And here we are. There's like 24, I think, different categories. So it's not a short list, but we're going to break it up a little bit here.
Yeah, so there's 24 different categories going from everything from criminally overlooked. Of course, there is my favorite game, stuff like the game you would use to relax from a busy day at work, biggest letdown, back in the day game. There's all sorts of fun little superlatives. So we've split them up. Since there are 24 and there are three of us, each of us will get six? That's math, right? Eight?
Eight.
Eight. We'll each get eight. We have divvied them up. I swear.
I blanked. I completely blanked. It's like, wait. Oh, dude.
We'll each get eight categories. We'll go through them one by one. We'll start with Lauren, then me, then Tom. We'll go through the list. And then at the end of it, we've all actually filled out this form for every category of our own picks. We will post them throughout the week over on Controller Club on Twitter. Instagram, I think, as well. We'll put it on social, so look for it, find it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So let's get into it. Let's start right from the beginning. And usually you would save this category for the very end, but the point of this exercise is actually not really to talk about our favorite game of all time, but we do want to put that on the list to start things off. Lauren, we'll kick it to you to start with your favorite game of all time. As we discussed, if we want, we can dive in, have deep dive conversations, but if there's nothing more to be said, we'll move on to the next one. So Lauren, go ahead. I feel like we've talked about this game before, but here we are yet again.
Yeah. Well, favorite game of all time. If you've listened to anything I've said over the last like 97 podcasts, you probably already know what it is. It's The Last of Us. Easy done. Yeah. Love that game. Don't know if I need to say any more about it.
And I'll go very quickly with number two because this is the best story. It is The Last of Us Part Two. We've talked about this game plenty, so I feel like we don't really need to talk about it much more. Great story. They're going to do it in the TV show. It's going to be fantastic. Now we get into the fun stuff, I think. Tom Drew, give us your very first category on here.
Yeah. Oh my God, there's so many to choose from. So I'm picking for favorite art style in a game.
This is so good that this went like, to you.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, this can like go many different ways. But for me, I have to go with Persona 5. I think like just super flashy, obviously. Like, even the menus are just amazing. I think also just the fact that, you know, it combines both, like, 2D with, like, the 2D art that it shows in, like, the conversations and stuff that is, like, gorgeous. And then also, like, the 3D, like, models and stuff. Everyone looks really stylized and fun, and all the attacks are really cool. Yeah, I just think, like, every game should strive to be as not like not exactly like Persona, obviously, but like just as ambitious and as cool as Persona 5 is. So yeah, I really like that game as art style.
Yeah, the like older Persona games had great art style, and then Persona 5 came in and they just like they shook up the box. They were like, let's show you what we really can do. And now I feel bad for like anyone working on any future Persona game ever, because they are just constantly going to be striving to hit that peak without like it becoming redundant or reductive, like of just like copying the homework from last time. It's perfect. It is like this art style is amazing, and the way it plays, everything in Persona 5 plays together so well with the art and the music, and it all just works into this like beautiful amalgamation. Lauren, you don't have a Persona 5 experience, do you? But you've seen what it looks like, right?
No, I haven't, but yeah, I know, I'm familiar with its style. Very cool.
Okay, Lauren, we'll jump right to you with the next one. Category number 4, the Someday I'll Finish It game.
Yeah, there's many of these in my life, but I'll pick probably the biggest one, which, you know, could be in many other categories. But for me, it's The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, a game that I've tried to start about 3 different times and never finished. I will finish it one day because I do want to play Tears of the Kingdom. So that's what I'm picking.
You're saying it now. By the end of this year, maybe you'll finish.
That'll probably give me a deadline. That'll probably make it worse.
Yeah.
Next on the list is Big Personal Impact. This is for me. And I'm going to say Celeste. A game that from the outside you might look at and go, a cute platformer, what's going on? One of the, like, I'll say it right now, I'm a mark. I cry at everything. Pencil commercial, like anything you give me an emotional attachment to and then tear that away and it'll break me. This game made me sob. As somebody who has dealt with mental illness in the past and continues to battle it every single day, Celeste is like is a near perfect like journey about mental illness and looking within oneself and climbing that mountain and getting to the top of that mountain. And it just happens to also be an incredible platformer, but it's just like seeing that come out of a 2D side scrolling platformer is like, it's so cool. And it is something I never thought I would ever see growing up playing Mario and Sonic and all that. And then this like really elevating it. It's really special. I think Celeste is one of my favorite games ever made. So it had to come up.
Yeah, I need to play it. Like it's last one that I need to get around to. Did you see they made the developers in like just a week's time? They just tried to cobble us together. But do you say they made like a 3D version of Celeste?
Yes. Yeah, you can download it for free online. Yeah. I have not tried it yet, but it's like, yeah, they turned it into a 3D platformer, which I think is so cool. Their next game is coming out, hopefully this year, Earthblade. Mm-hmm. It's on my fantasy team, so I hope to God it comes out this year. And I'm so excited. I'm so excited to get more from them because what they do is just so cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. We'll move on to the next one. Tom Drew, best combat.
Yeah. I think this like was an easy answer for me. And it's Final Fantasy VII Remake / Rebirth. This is like the ideal combat system for me because it mixes the kind of like action hack and slash combat with like RPG elements where like, if you haven't played it before, you can press X and then it slows down time everywhere and then you can select different moves. So it makes it sort of like turn-based with the action still in there. It isn't without its like issues. Like I had an issue today where like you'll lock onto enemies and the way it works is that enemies will like telegraph their moves by their like the moves name appearing above their head. And sometimes you just can't see them. So then a giant dog will just be like eating your face. And it's like, I didn't even see where you were. So it's not the perfect combat system, but like in terms of just like how much fun I have playing it and how much fun like just trying to like get the most out of it, and like the flashiness of it, the different kind of super moves and synergy moves that you can do with your different party members. Like, if it was up to me, this like would be every combat system in a game. So yeah, it's got to go to that.
And it's really overwhelming looking at it from the outside. There's just like, there's a lot happening, and you're hitting things, and then you're pausing the game essentially to do these special moves. And once you get into that rhythm, like when I started Rebirth, I'm like, how do we play this again? And I'm like just controlling Cloud, and then like when I could, using the other people's abilities. And then I realized, no, that's not how this is supposed to be played. Like, you're supposed to slash, slash, slash with Cloud until you've built up enough meter to do a special move, hit the special move, and then you don't even watch the special move. You switch over to someone else, and then you build up their meter, do a special move, and you switch over, and you're just constantly moving around the battlefield, switching character to character, letting special move after special move happen. And when it works, and you're pressuring an enemy and then staggering them and then doing ultimate damage and then like limit break and then summoning a big like Leviathan to come in and take everyone out, like it does feel very good.
Yeah, it's a lot of micromanagement, but like, I don't know, I guess I'm just like CD in that way. I just love that aspect of it.
Lauren, to you next. Seventh category on here, the game you like that everybody hates.
Yeah, this is difficult because there's a lot of games that I like, and I'm not sure if other people hate them or if there are many games that are universally hated. But anyway, I picked one. And for me, I think it is EA's Star Wars Battlefront, probably both of them, but the first one's the one that I really like. I think, I don't know if they like hate it as such. Maybe they are. But I do know that like a lot of people were disappointed compared to what the old Battlefront games were. And that, particularly that second one did have a lot of issues with live service elements and things like that. So I think that really killed a lot
loot
of
boxes.
Loot
right?
boxes, thank
that
you.
That was the big thing.
But for me, like, I really, really loved that first Star Wars Battlefront game because I didn't really play the other ones when I was young. I got into Star Wars later in life, and I spent so many hours playing with friends and just like I really, really enjoyed it. That's my pick for that one.
Okay. I would say that first one was quite maligned. I think people got into it right at the beginning and then very quickly were like, there isn't a lot here. I enjoyed it. It was nice to be back in the Star Wars Battlefront experience. But I was kind of with the masses where after a couple of weeks, kind of like, I'm done. There's not really a lot for me here to do. And by the time I got into Battlefront 2, which was years after it came out, they had fixed a lot of Battlefront 2. And it was like, I was into that game. That was one of my when everyone else was playing Among Us during the pandemic, that's when I got into Battlefront 2, and I played a lot of it.
Oh, just like Battlefront 2, you're right. It was so panned. I remember when I worked at the video game store, like JB Hi-Fi, you could buy it for like $4. They had so many copies.
I bought it for
$3.50.
I bought it the Ultimate Edition with everything in it for $3.50 during the pandemic. And I had a work from home station, and I had a monitor there and my little laptop with the PlayStation connected to the monitor. And if nothing was happening, I would just turn on the PS4.
That is one of those redemption Camino. The game did come back, kind of like some of the others, but
Tom, did you ever get into the Battlefront games?
Yeah, I obviously played the old ones. And then I skipped the first reboot game because I didn't have a PlayStation 4 at the time. And then it was a while after launch, but maybe not as late as you. But my God, we got a dog on the pod. Sorry, I just got distracted. Lauren's got her dog in her lap. That's amazing. Sorry, I just got sidetracked. I actually enjoyed my time with the second one. It had its issues, but by the time it got around to me, a lot of those issues had been fixed, and they'd add a lot of heroes and maps and that sort of thing. So they're not as bad as a lot of people say.
We're gonna get into some negativity here, folks. My next category is the game you hate that everybody likes. And I gave it a college try. I gave it a shot, and my answer is Fire Emblem Three Houses. People love this game, and I love Persona. And when I said I love Persona, people were like, you would adore Fire Emblem. I really liked Marvel's Midnight Suns. People kept telling me, give Fire Emblem a shot. Give Fire Emblem a shot. I can't do it. I cannot do it. There's just too many things going against me on it. I don't understand the combat system all that well. I feel like I can never win. I wish this game ran. I mean, that's a Switch problem, but like, I wish this game looked better, ran better, didn't make my console sound like it was going to take off. I'm sorry. I'm not a Fire Emblem Three Houses fan, and this is the cross I must bear. I will stick to my Balatro and Backpack Hero and my Switch, and that is it.
That hurts, Klein. That's you know, that might be a deal breaker. that's far. I know I'm wrong, so much. But yeah,
like,
I
understand that I am a broken human being. I understand that I am the person at fault here. However, I can't do it, and I want to love this thing, but I don't. Yeah. And I
that's okay.
No,
if you're
so
not
sitting
fun,
on my shelf,
no point.
I thought about taking it to EB Games. This weekend, I was like, do I trade it in? That Tekken 8's calling me. Do I trade it? No.
There you go.
I did not. And I will not. Okay. Moving on to the next category. Tom, your pick for underrated game.
Yeah, this was an interesting one. I was like trying to think of like games that are underrated or like not talked about as much. I don't know if this is maybe not even like the correct answer, but for me, I feel like just from the sentiment I get online, I think a game that's underrated is the Guardians.
Great
of the Galaxy
answer.
Game.
I didn't even think about that. That's a great answer.
I don't feel like people talk about it enough. And when they do get around to it, like it's a lot of fun. Obviously, it's riffing on the James Gunn movies a bit, but like it does enough of its own thing in terms of the story that I think like the characterization is a little bit different. That I think is fun. The gameplay, it's very similar to Final Fantasy VII Remake in a lot of ways. You don't play as all the Guardians, but I think that's fine. I think like the way it works is great, like in terms of fighting enemies and stuff. And like when you activate songs in the game, it's like, if you haven't played it, like there's a special meter or something like that, and you get to a certain point and then you can activate a song. It'll play a random song on Star-Lord's Walkman, and it'll play that song and just give you a big boost, and it's like, oh, it just feels so good to be playing like with the licensed music playing. And it's yeah, I just think it doesn't get its flowers enough, and it's kind of been overshadowed by a lot of other games, like Spider-Man, or like even like, you know, the Arkham is obviously still talked about, but the Guardians of the Galaxy game, it was a lot of fun. I thought, I think, you know, if people give it a shot,
that's a great
have a
pick.
Lot of fun.
Guardians of the Galaxy rule.
Yeah, I didn't play it, but it's like one of those ones that I think is an unsung hero.
Yeah, I remember playing it.
Yeah.
A couple like that Christmas. It came out in like November, and playing it over that Christmas and thinking, why are we, like, why is this not getting talked about more? It is just. It's great. I don't know if it's on the level of like Spider-Man or Spider-Man 2 when it comes to like Marvel games, but I like it is just a slight notch below it. It is awesome. And there are some like great moments in it. Yeah. And it sucks. I don't think we're going to get more. But yeah, that's odd. That's a great pick. Lauren, you have, I think, the worst one on this list.
Yeah. I really want to hear what you guys pick for this, just because I don't want to be alone.
Overrated.
But anyway, yeah, I have overrated.
You're overrated, okay, game.
Okay. I am just going to put it out there. I think Call of Duty is overrated. You know, it may be one of the biggest video game franchises ever, but in my view, it's just like the same thing every year, but with a different name. They're even at the point of like, oh, it's Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 Remade. And I'm like, but we already did this like 20 years ago. So I just wonder at what point it's just the same game and you've like added updated graphics. But I haven't played. I used to play Call of Duty. Like, I do appreciate what it's done for the industry and like kind of setting up that big, allowing people to like have a great multiplayer space to play and things like that. But I think it shouldn't be as big as it is.
Lauren, it's funny you bring up that you think it's the same game every year. I think that's one of the reasons why it is so big, because people like putting on that same sweater That's at true. The same time every year. They like dusting off the controller every fall and knowing what they're going to get. And that formula has worked for a long time now, obviously. It's still absolutely huge. I had a long, long love affair with the Call of Duty franchise. Not as much anymore. I do not play it every year now. I'll every couple of years jump in, but like I would agree with you, I think, a little bit. I think that they're, for the amount that they sell, like in the most pure form of what is overrated, I would say Call of Duty is probably that, just because they sell so much and it is kind of, it's the vanilla ice cream of video games, right? Like it's just,
it's so basic.
Kind of, yeah, it is just so incredibly like middle of the road. That's a good pick. Tom, are you any Call of Duty thoughts or should we move on?
I mean, yeah, I think like I've always been that kind of kid who's like, yeah, Call of Duty, Nintendo, good.
Want to talk about Wonderful 101? Let's go.
Our friends have some stuff. It's funny you say that because that is actually my overrated pick. Like, I actually don't like that game very much. I don't know if Lauren knows about this game, but like the Wonderful 101. Yeah, for people that don't know, if you're listening to this, the Wonderful 101 is basically a game you're playing as like a group of superheroes, and it's like there's 101 of them, and they all kind of like come together. It's a bit like Pikmin, but you can form these little superhero guys into different like weapons. So if you're controlling the red guy or making him the leader, you'll make a giant fist or something. Or if you're playing as the pink girl, she'll make a giant whip. And like, I really wanted to like it, but I just couldn't get into it. I know Platinum Games, like people love Platinum Games so much, but I really wanted to enjoy this game. But yeah, I couldn't get through it. I just thought the gameplay was quite tedious. So yeah.
So we're doing, so we're doing
my,
this.
That's my overrated take.
Do I have to now?
I think we have to support.
Guys,
support Lauren.
I'm going
here.
To say this, and both. I will say I like this game. I just think it is a better movie than it is a game. Red Dead Redemption 2. I'm sorry.
Whoa. Okay. Interesting.
Like what?
I know people who herald what this game as one of the greatest games of all time. I think the story and the characters are awesome. The act of playing it, you move like you're running through sludge. You've got all these meters to take care of all the time. Are you clean? Are you dirty? Are you hungry? Are you full? Is it too cold? Are you too warm?
It's immersive.
It's not fun. I'm not having fun.
That's what life is. That's what life
is. You are entitled to your opinion.
I like the game. I just think that I'm literally there to like get to the next story beat, and that's kind of it. I was really hoping I wouldn't have to say that on the show, but you pulled it out of me.
Thanks, you've explained yourself.
To Adam Levin from Agents of Fandom. Yeah.
If you just seen that on the document, people are like, what the hell? Yeah. So now they can listen and see what the reasoning is.
The next category is, why do I like this? And I don't know what this, like, I was trying to figure out, what does this mean? The why do I like this game? And I've kind of come down to, like, I don't know, the game that I ask myself, like, am I actually enjoying myself? But I keep coming back to it. One of the answers I had written down was Overwatch 2, but I've kind of stopped playing Overwatch 2. For a long time, I was like, I hate this game, but I would play it every day. The answer I'm going to give is Magic the Gathering Arena. And I've talked about this game a little bit here on the show. I'm a huge card collector. I love my bin of cardboard that sits in the closet behind me that I've spent way too much money on. And I love card games like this. They scratch a particular part of my brain. But now I play a digital version where I spend money on digital cards that I don't actually own. And at any time, this game could just disappear and all this money would be gone. And I spend hours just either like being terribly mad at myself because I lost and I'm bad at it, or I'm like, just, I don't know. I don't actually have a lot of fun playing it. It just, it as I said, itches a particular part of my brain that nothing else does. So I'm broken. And right now I have Queen's Blood, so it's holding me off. I have not played Magic the Gathering in a while, so.
There you go.
Next, we'll go to you, Tom. The game you always come back to.
Yeah, this one's interesting because, like, I actually don't, unless it's like a multiplayer game, I guess, I don't really come back to games that much. I don't replay games all too often. Playing, like, doing the shows obviously made me go back to a lot of games that I played previously and returning to them, which is good. But yeah, the only one that, like, consistently I'd say I go back to is probably Spider-Man or Spider-Man 2, I guess, but mostly the first Spider-Man over the, you know, because it's been out longer. Just for the fact of, like, yeah, swinging around New York and then beating up people after you've been in the game. It's just relaxing. Just throw on some tunes, throw on a podcast. It's just good. Like, I think, yeah,
that's like a, it's fun. I was thinking about Spider-Man for like a comfort food game.
Yeah.
Because it is like, just playing that game feels really good.
Yeah.
Lauren, we'll jump to you next.
Yeah.
That Atmosphere Award. Mm. Whatever that means to you.
So many of these are subjective. I also should preface this that my goal in doing this was to try and not pick the same game twice.
Same.
You don't have to, but that's just kind of what I was doing. So I was trying to spread the love a little bit.
I did accidentally do it, though. When I wrote it down, and then I went back and looked, and I was like, wait a second. Why is Mod Nation Racers on here twice? Let's get rid of that.
Yeah, it's easy to do because I could say apply these superlatives to many games. But anyway, for this one, I decided to go with Life is Strange True Colors. Basically, for me, this game, like, I played it when I was deep in lockdown in Sydney. I could not leave my house, and I just felt like I was there in this, like, crisp mountain town that was like an escape from my apartment. And I just, like, was really invested in these characters, and like the music is such a vibe, and even your character in True Colors, like, she's an empath, she can feel other people's emotions. So I just felt like it created this really, like, wholesome but quite, you know, like, immersive vibe, which, you know, most Life of Strange games do, because they bring you right into the story with these characters. So I felt like it had that atmosphere.
Have you played the original as well?
I haven't played it. I've watched playthroughs.
Okay, because I have not played True Colors, but I've played the first one, and it was one of them that I was thinking about for best atmosphere. Like, it just, I think they both have a very similar vibe, but it's just like this great, like, indie rock is playing, and Pacific Northwest kind of vibe with the big trees and the lakes and the, like, that's a great pick. It's me next. I don't know where my head went there. I was thinking about Arcadia Bay. Strange. What's this? Why am I? Life is Strange. I was going to say Stranger Lives. I'm like, that's definitely not the name of the game.
Could be.
Stranger Lives.
My next category is the Bad Day Cure game. And you want to talk about music? You want to talk about vibes? I want to talk about a little game called Mario Galaxy, my friends. This is a game that I come back to all the time. I have it on my Switch in the 3D All-Stars collection. Was that what it was called, Tom? That was only available for like a few months. This game on the Nintendo Wii and then on Switch is just like, you cannot leave this game without having a smile on your face by the time you are done whatever sort of playthrough, however long, even if it's just a level. Every single one of these levels, every single moment in this game is meant to make you smile. I think that is what Nintendo is really good at, especially with the Mario series. It's just like bringing joy to people. That's why they're like compared to like the Disney of video games. But for me, Mario Galaxy specifically is just so good at like just distilling joy, distilling whether it is the way the jump feels or some unique little quirk in a level or meeting Toad and his weird spacefaring Toad friends out in the middle of nowhere. Like, it just, it's so delightful, and it is just like, it's like warm soup every time you play it. I love that game. I should play through it again. I really like Mario Galaxy.
Yeah, I think just like, any Mario game, it just fills you with joy. But that one in particular, like, just with the way the music swells, especially like Gusty Garden Galaxy, just like, oh god, I just feel so good, like, playing through that.
All the time. Tom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too.
Your fave protagonist.
Yeah, my big fave. I was like, really it's trying Nat, to rack right? my brain. It like, has to be Nat. Who is my favorite protagonist in a game? Oh, yeah, well, thanks for spoiling it, because yeah, obviously it's Nat. Yeah, I really, like, struggled with this. But then I really, like, I was like, it really just comes down to the guy that we picked for the best protagonist. I think it's Link. I just, every Nat time I'm playing as Link, no matter what version, I'm just, yeah, I just love it. I think, yeah, like, he doesn't say a lot, but he's just cool as hell. And, like, the way he plays is always fun. Yeah, I just think he's, like, pretty perfect and what he sets out to achieve, which is not a lot in terms of his words.
I joke about that, he is a man of few words, but it is amazing, and it's a credit to Nintendo, how much personality that Link has across his years and years of history without ever saying a word, without only ever making these like guttural sword swinging noises. Like, that's kind of it. But like, he has a personality, and he's goofy and he's silly, but he also has like saved the world from time traveling demons and done all sorts of crazy stuff like that. Like, that's, yeah, Link is very special.
If you want to hear more, listen to our episode 94, best gaming protagonist.
Four or five, I think, like, not, well, just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Next, three episodes Lauren, ago. Your after work relaxation game.
Yeah, this one was tricky because it feels like the bad day cure and the after work relaxation are the same for me, but I did pick different games. So for this one, I went with, I don't do it as much anymore because I have a problem, but it's Marvel Snap. I just love getting home. I'm on my phone, I'm scrolling. I'm usually procrastinating doing anything else once I get home. But yeah, usually Marvel Snap really helps me get there. Just switch off, play a few rounds, a few hundred rounds, and yeah, I'm good to go.
We haven't checked in on the Snap progress in a while. Are you still playing it actively? Have you got you haven't talked about it in a long time. Have you been playing still?
I do play occasionally, but like I said, I had a real problem. So I've tried to curb it a little bit. And sometimes I'll play and I'll be like, play like 5-10 rounds in a row, and then I won't touch it for a few weeks. But I do every now and then pick it up.
Next up, it is me. The biggest gaming letdown. And I don't know if this is like recency bias. I don't know if it's because like the wound is fresh. But I want to bring up Sonic Superstars. My God. We were going to get a new 2D Sonic game. Last however many years ago, we get Sonic Mania, and it was great, and it was the best Sonic game that we have ever gotten. And then they're like, we're not going to do that ever again, and we're going to make this like weird cartoon-looking Sonic, but it's still going to be 2D. And I'm going to get excited because it's like, okay, like, I don't know about this art style, but maybe it like... It's 2D Sonic. It's gonna like, I'm gonna like it. And I couldn't do it. And it broke me. And I was sat there on the couch. And it was the same week Mario Wonder came out. Thank God. I sat there on the couch going, I just spent this much money on Sonic and have played for 4 or 5 hours, and it is just not working. I want bring back the Mania team. I'm playing Penny's Big Breakaway, their new game that's not published by Sega. Sega. These people have it. They've got the juice. Bring them back. Make Mania 2 and just put Superstars on a ship and send it out to sea and light it on fire and never talk about it again.
Oh, God. I just feel want so good bad
things.
For you
I just want good
like,
things, Tom.
That. I thought that was going to be the one, and it really it just wasn't. One day we'll get another good Sonic game. Maybe the next.
I just can't believe they let them go. They were like, we'll man, we found these great fan creators who make fan Sonic games. Let's pay them to make a Sonic game. And it was the best Sonic game that has ever Sonic'd. And guess what? Then they just let them walk. They let them walk. They wanted to do more. And they were like, nah, we're okay. We got this. Don't worry about it. They didn't got it. Tom, we'll go to you next. The back in the day game. This was a fun one.
Back in day. Yeah. There's a lot of these kinds of games that I was like running through, and I'm like, oh man. Oh, to be back in the heyday of of RuneScape or Spore.
I had RuneScape but my down. Pick... They changed it.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's go. Oh, my God. I love that game so much. But my pick is actually going to be Minecraft. I think, like, just in terms of the nostalgia I have for that, like, time when, like, updates were coming out consistently. And, like, just playing with my friends. I think that was the, like, period of my life when I had the most friends playing one game. I just love the game a lot. And I think it also, like, it's influenced a lot because, I had a karaoke party last week. This is so embarrassing. I can't believe I'm admitting to this on the podcast. But as part of the karaoke, I did a Minecraft parody song as one of the karaoke things. I tricked people. I was like,
"What was guys, it? Was doing... it like a like? Was it to the tune of another song?"
Yeah. So it was like, "Okay, don't worry, guys. I'm singing Usher's DJ Can't Stop Falling. Can't Stop Falling in Love." Don't worry about it. And then I just bust out with one of my other friends this stupid Minecraft parody song. And people loving it. I think everyone, like, was impressed, obviously. But no, just, like, that period of time, just the way Minecraft, like, it wasn't just the game. Like, it was influencing so much more in, like, the fan culture and just the content that was being created from that, like... I yearn for those days, and I still, like, you know, I'll boot up Minecraft every now and then, get into, like, just an addiction of playing it, and then kind of stop, and then the process continues. But just have so much love for that game.
We gotta do a Minecraft New Game Plus. Like,
that would be fun.
I think we've got to do it at some point. I've played a lot of Minecraft. I know nothing about Minecraft, though, because I would go on my friend's servers. We'd be there and they'd be like, "Okay, Klein, you're going to just dig the big pit." And I'd dig the big pit, and that's what I would do. I don't know what it says about me, but I would never think of that game as a back in the day game. But I think that's just because I'm old. Minecraft feels like it. Oh, that was like 5 years ago when that came out. It wasn't, but like that's what the kids play. You are one of the kids, Tom. Mm-hmm. Lauren,
yeah, it's true.
Here's a good one. The not the best, but I'm having fun game.
This was a tough one. Also, sorry if you can hear the fan that is now on in this room, but that's what's happening. This one, yeah, I thought was difficult because I have to admit that maybe one of the games I like isn't the best. But I do enjoy playing it. So for this, I'm picking Far Cry 5. I think Far Cry games in general are probably just some of those games that are like, they're not groundbreaking, but they are fun to play. And I think Far Cry 5 in particular, out of the whole series, is maybe one that's a little overlooked. It's not the favorite, but for me, it's one of my favorites. I had such a good time playing it when it came out. It was something about the combination of just like it being a weird American cult in this like kind of beautiful landscape, and I had like animals at my disposal as mates. I thought that was really fun. So yeah, probably not the best of the franchise. Far Cry games are not the best in general, but they are great fun to play.
Yeah, that was it. I agree with you. Far Cry 5 is, you said, it's the American heartland one, right?
Mm, yeah, cult one.
And is that your favorite of all of them?
I actually think it might be. I do really like 3. But I think 5 added the element of being able to have companions and animal companions in particular. And I really liked that addition. So 3 is probably like the best overall, but 5 was like the most fun gameplay was.
As we've seen in recording the podcast today, you like having an animal by your side.
It's true. The dogs have appeared twice now.
Next, it is the criminally overlooked game. We're coming down to the nitty gritty here. And you know what, guys? I said I had it on 2 categories before, and I had to decide which one it was. Mod Nation Racers, it's criminally overlooked. The reason that this game did not take off is because it had awful loading times. But you're telling me it was basically Little Big Planet, where you could but with kart racing, you could make your own karts, upload them so other people could download them, characters, upload them so other people could download them, tracks, upload them so people could download them, then take all of that online. Plus, it had great tracks built in. I personally loved, like, I love Mario Kart. I love kart racing. I wouldn't say I'm very good at games, but kart racers, for some reason, something clicks in my brain that I'm just like, I could take anyone. That's that. I'm willing to put that out there. I could take anyone. Mod Nation Racers is my favorite kart racing game of all time. And we got one game and a terrible PSP or Vita version. PSP or I think it was Vita. And that was it. And I want, especially in this online age that we live in, I think that this game would thrive with all the custom carts and tracks and characters and going online with your friends. And I just don't think that enough. We get some other kart racers. Like, obviously, we got the Crash Nitro Kart came back. Like, they remastered that. And we get the Sega Superstars Racing and the Garfield carts of the world and like all of these like okay kart racing games, but no one is really trying to take Mario Kart's lunch anymore. And I think Mod Nation Racers should come back. I think it would do great, especially with the SSD. Loading times wouldn't even matter. Just put the PS3 game on the PS5 and I would play it and give me online connectivity. It's great.
I'm seeing Goku.
Oh yeah, you can do anything.
So you can make this.
That's yeah, crazy. And there was zero microtransactions in it. I'm sure at some point there may have been like Little Big Planet style downloadable. Like you could get like this costume, but you could make anything and any looking cart and all of these tracks, and then go online and race people from around the world. Like it was awesome. It had so much game packed into it, and I feel like it has been forgotten to time.
I know.
It was this or PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. Those were the things that I was grappling between. Tom, we'll go to you. Time to get sad. Your depressing game.
Yeah, well, Lauren already brought up the franchise. My depressing game is the first Life is Strange. Obviously, there are moments of joy in that game too, but like, God, some of the things that happen in the game, I'm just like, I need to sit down for a bit and look at a wall because I just need to feel something else other than sadness. Especially the ending. You know, there are like criticisms of like Chloe's character in particular. But like I don't know. I think I kind of buy into the whole kind of relationship and the way it ends. Like, spoiler alert, you having to kind of either sacrifice Chloe or sacrifice Arcadia Bay. Yeah. And I think I sacrificed Chloe. I can't remember.
I did not.
But either
I murdered everyone.
But either option, I think, is like, oh my god, this is so like bittersweet. But yeah, I think just very sad, but like very good at the same time.
It's depressing. Introduce me to the word Hella though, so it has that going for it. I was unaware of that one before that. They say it a hell a lot in that game.
Nice.
Lauren, jump to you. Favorite active gaming franchise?
This one was difficult to pick from a game that I hadn't already picked. As with many of these games, just one of many favorites. But I've gone with Spider-Man, assuming that they're making more Spider-Mans. Insomniacs. We've talked about it plenty today, but love those games. Very, very keen to see what they do next with them. So that's probably one of the most the franchises that is active that I'm most looking forward to seeing what happens next.
Yeah, we'll get at least one more game. They have to give us more.
Surely it's a trilogy at least.
Yeah, and a Venom game maybe, and then Wolverine might tie in some way, and who knows. We'll go to my last pick, which is the indie pick, the indie game that you love, the indie game that you will go to bat for. There was a few different things I wanted to throw out there, but the one that I'm going to pick is a game that I've spent so much time playing on my Nintendo Switch, and that is Slay the Spire. Just a, like, again, back to the itching the brain card games that I love. This deck-building roguelike, I'd heard good things about. I downloaded it, and it has never left my Switch since then. And I've played it, I wouldn't say once a week, but, like, I play it a lot. I will at least one run especially because they have like daily special runs with like weird mutations on them. I've done everything you can do in the game. Someone was telling me that there's a mod that some fans made on PC that introduces like three new characters and a whole bunch of new cars and stuff like that. And I was like thinking, do I need to download this game and figure out how to mod it on my computer so that I can experience all of this? Because like Slay the Spire is one of my favorite games of all time. It is an indie game. And I think it's of the like deck based roguelikes. I think that it's like, it is the best.
Yeah, it's one I've not played, but I've always heard so much about it. Like, so I got to get around to it at some point.
Tom, you get the last one here. You get to close things out. The final one.
Yeah.
The not usually my thing, but award.
This one was really hard because like a lot of the time, I feel like I'm pretty open to most kinds of games. I obviously have my like favorites and I lock into a lot of those things. But I think I'd probably say for this one, it'd be 2016's Doom. It's a first person shooter, which is not my kind of typical game. Obviously a very different one to kind of like Call of Duty or Halo or whatever. It's got a lot of like blood and gore, which I don't really gel with a lot of time, especially in movies, because it's icky. But like, I don't know, the vibe, the music, the gameplay, everything about it just like works so well. And it like one of my favorite like PlayStation 4 games now. I think it's just incredible what they did with that game. And then obviously how they continued with it in Doom Eternal. So yeah, not just not something I would, especially like young me, I don't think my younger self would have ever even like dared to try this sort of game. But like, yeah, I ended up loving it.
Okay. 24 games. Each of us got 8. We've filled out this form. We'll put it up on social media. If you want to react to what we have said today, what we will post over on socials with our alternative favorite games of all time list, you can. You can interact with us over on Twitter at @controller_club. That was a lot of fun. I liked that.
Yeah, that was good.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you.
That was good.
You can also over on Twitter, you can talk to us, interact with us, giving us your thoughts on our new Game Plus Video Game Book Club Game of the Month. We have been slacking. I apologize. It is mostly my fault, but that is okay. We are here and we have picked a game for March for the next few weeks. Let's say we'll probably give it a few weeks and then jump into a deep dive conversation sometime in April. And we are playing Helldivers 2, the online sensation. It's sweeping the nation, this international success. I cannot wait to dive into it and give it a try and spend more hours killing bugs and shooting robots. There's robots in it, right, Lauren?
Yeah, automatons.
There are robots. So we'll be playing that. We will reconvene in a few weeks for a deep dive book club discussion. But until then, we've got plenty to talk about in the coming weeks here. If you want to let us know, if you want to keep up with us online, you can do so, as I said, controller_club on Twitter, controllerclubpod on Instagram, and controller.club on TikTok. Rate, review us wherever you get your podcast. Send in any questions, any hellos, topic ideas, what you thought of today's show. You can do that controllerclubpod@gmail.com. Tom Drew, if people wanted to talk to you directly, they wanted that one-to-one, I don't know why they would. If they wanted that, you know, to get some Tom Drew time, where can they do so?
Yeah, I guess you could send me a message on Tom Drew Art on Instagram and Twitter. I don't know if my DMs are open, but you can try, and I'll probably ignore it, to be honest. But if it's good enough, you know, maybe we can have a little chat. You can find me there. I've posted some cyberpunk fan art of Pan Am Palmer from the game. So if you're a Pan Am fan or cyberpunk fan, check it out there. Tom Drew Art.
Okay. Lauren, where can everybody keep up with you? Do you have anything exciting coming? I know you will have to get on a plane probably pretty quick and head back to Sydney. But do you have anything you're looking forward to in the world? And where can people find that?
Yeah, you can find me at lrouse19 on all the socials. This past week, I put out an interview with Ben Feldman and the cast of Population 11. It's an Australian show, but I think is going global. So hopefully people out there can watch it. But nice little show. Very big, like, fish out of water. American goes into crazy Australian outback vibes. So that's fun. And then this week I'll be once again talking about my probably favorite show of the year so far, maybe the whole year, Big Body Problem. I've spoken to the cast and I'm going to put out an interview for that this week. So keep an eye out on socials for that.
Excellent. Make sure you do that. You can keep up with me everywhere. I'm at The Kleinfelt, T-H-E-K-L-E-I-N-F-E-L-T. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. Episode number 97. We're getting close to 100. It's coming. It's coming quick. Thank you so much for listening. Let's get gaming.